Podcast. It's been episode 5. We haven't recorded for freaking months. A lot has changed, girls. What the hell has been going on?
I know, right?
I mean, where do we start?
Probably the right thing to say.
So if you are listening at home, I suggest you either get a big fat cup of tea or a huge glass of wine because you are going to need it. Put your seatbelt on because it's going to be crazy. right. I guess then let's talk about the little bit of the changes that we've... Hang on, my eyelash just stuck in my eye then when I was talking. That really hurt. let's talk through... the changes that we've all been experiencing. Katie, do you want to go first?
I mean, since we last sort of spoke, my biggest life event is that me and Josh bought a house together. That was pretty cool. And it's been really, really nice, like just having our own space and stuff and... Mm-hmm. It's been awesome. So that's been a pretty awesome change. I've had some other stuff happen, which I'm probably not going to talk about today, but I think I'll eventually discuss them. They're still a bit fresh, like not to be cryptic or anything, but I feel like it could be like almost a whole episode what else I could talk about. But yeah, that's my biggest kind of like life change, and it's been awesome, like crazy, but awesome.
Good. Amy, have you managed to find your email or are you okay?
I'm just having a mess day. It's one of those days, guys. The moon is not my friend. Like, we'll come on to that later, but it's really not kind to me. So, work issues are just another dilemma. Basically, for those listening, I booked like plane tickets today and put the wrong name on one of them. So that's good. So really pleased about that. Anyway. For me, it's been like, I haven't had so many dramatic changes as you guys. I feel like I went through that before and you guys have been through it this time around. So
yeah.
I just feel like I've been in a very, very big whirlwind of like work and life and just trying to, balance everything. And now living in the South Coast, I have a much bigger social life, but sometimes that's hard to balance with work and stuff. So yeah, I've had a few life adjustments outside of like COVID and all the restrictions lifting, but not nearly as many cool celebrations as you guys or weird life things that have happened to you. So
yeah, I feel like the world opened up and we just kind of like it all like went crazy.
Yeah
Especially in our industry as well, Amy, that we both work in the motorcycle industry. It's been so intense over the past few months. It felt like every time we were trying to get together to record an episode, it was like, oh, I'm in Italy, oh, I'm going to here, I'm going to there. So we just ended up missing each other completely.
I feel like work's just been like one of those things where, like you say, all the events suddenly happened because we were in lockdown for so long and obviously no events happened, and then every single motorcycle event in the world or in the UK just opened up and it was like, okay, and suddenly we were just here, there, everywhere, championships happening. We were, all three of us were at championships at different points bumping into each other. So it was just a bit of a wild wild time. As soon as everyone was like, it's fine to like now socialize, then everything just went mad. So that's, and it's probably been a good thing because it's meant that we've had, because people have said to me like, when are you doing the podcast again? And I'm like, well, to be honest, it's probably a good thing that we do it in the winter because then we've actually got loads of stuff we can cover. So it's not been a bad thing. And I think it means we've been able to let the dust settle a little bit too. So to speak.
Katie's in the middle of the storm right now, almost just riding it out.
It's great times, guys.
Surprised you're not on the wine.
I was. I've had the wine, and then I thought I'd like calm it down with a cup of tea and a croissant.
I might have to go and get some wine in a moment, I think. So, mad stuff that's been going on with me since we last recorded. Did I already move house or not?
Yeah, you were both moving at the same time.
Yes, we were. Yeah. God.
Moved into a house, then went through a breakup, bought a new motorcycle and a BMX bike all in one go.
30s.
Exactly. When all this was happening, I was thinking, right, should I really be doing this at my age, like being 32? And I'm thinking, oh my God. Okay, should I buy another dirt bike? Should I not? Da 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 da. And literally, the same week that I bought my new bike, which in the end I did end up buying, two of my best friends told me that they were having babies and they are due a week apart. And I was like, yay, great for you. But I'm just going to go and ride now at the weekends. Like, it honestly pickled my head because I thought, shit, should I be doing that? Should I be thinking, oh my God, I need to think about serious life for a minute? But then, yeah, that soon went out the window.
Yeah, but fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
I think you've got to just embrace it, haven't you? Just roll with it. Especially after, if anything, over the last couple of years taught us, you just have to do shit that you want to do.
100%.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, mate. And I thought, when all this stuff started happening, and it was literally at the start, I think it was at the start of the last Mercury retrograde where all these changes started happening in my life, and I was thinking, okay, like, you know, it's a little bit of Mercury, let's ride it out and see what else it's going to throw at me. And you know, the house move was great and whatever, and then we went on to the breakup side of things, and that, like, I was bad for 2 weeks. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
I almost feel guilty for saying that I felt sad just for 2 weeks. Because, do you know what I mean? Without being harsh. Like, obviously, people go through a long-term relationship and they grieve for a long time, the whole relationship.
But do you know what, actually? Like, what I tell people, especially when, like, us as women decide to, like, call it a day, a lot of the time, like, the emotional breakup has already happened a long time before the actual physical breakup. Yeah. So you've almost, like, emotionally detached yourself for a long time, that the emotion is almost, like, a bit of grieving, but also, like, the relief.
Mm. Yeah, I think we spoke about this, didn't we, when I told you what happened. And I think, like, I mentally checked out a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then it's just the physical, like the physical side of the breakup thing that you think, oh shit, this has happened. But yeah. And then I was, like I say, sad for a few weeks and then woke up one morning and I think I texted you, Katie. I was like, okay, I'm back now. I know what I need to do. And that was it.
So that's the way to do it. Any advice?
Yeah. Any advice? Just be sad. In fact, one of my friends, Stephen, actually, he messaged me about it, because he heard what had happened, and he said, I've got one piece of advice. He said, have a cry and then get the fuck over it. That's exactly what he said, and that's what I did, and that was that.
Yeah, you like, soon realize that you're okay, like you will be okay. It's not like succumbing to the fear as well, isn't it? Like, I think so much like negative emotion is fueled by fear, and I think as soon as you get over the fear and you come to the realization that you're gonna be okay, it's like, it's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, like you say with the whole fear thing, like I really made a conscious effort to strip everything down. So just get rid of the ego, get rid of the thoughts and the journaling. And then there was a lot of that that went on. Yeah. Now, to be fair, dating in your 30s, girls, is another kettle of fish. Like, I can't even explain what's been happening. So obviously breakup was what, about 4 months ago now, and I just get random inboxes on the daily of things that women don't really tend to think are attractive, but men think is attractive to send to women.
Like, guys, we don't find your dicks pretty.
Newsflash, like, it's not a thing. Like, I don't understand how guys still think that's a thing. It's like, there's no secrets, is there? It's like, oh, here it is. And it's like, well, actually, I was working up to the point where I could see that if I wanted to. But actually, now I've just seen it, I'm probably not going to, like, date you. So
yeah, it's just awkward.
so weird.
Sorry, I know that you were like trying to beat around the bush there, no pun intended, Soph, but like, we don't want to see your dick.
Yeah. And not on a picture form anyway. Like, we don't even know if we want to see it in real life, let alone in a picture. So we don't need that in our lives. So yeah, it's really bizarre I just don't understand how, and I know we talked about some mentality of this stuff before, but at what point are they assessing that that's a good decision? Like, you're like, yeah, this would be really good. I'm just going to take a picture of myself naked. Which, by the way, angles are never strong when you're taking a picture of yourself naked. So, like,
especially, like, then, not from that angle as well.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great. Like, one, thanks for that. What do you do in return? Just send a thumbs up. Like, awesome. Yeah, it's just such a weird exchange of, like, yeah, it's such a weird thing to do.
I would love a guy's opinion on that and input on that, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Tell us what goes through your head, please. Yeah.
Why have you assessed that this is a really, really strong positive decision to get to get a girlfriend or to get laid? Like, you know.
I feel like it's almost like a show-off thing. Like, yeah. I feel like that's another bit of a guy's ego where they can go, oh, have a look at this. Da, da, da. But they just always look so angry, mate. Like, you never see a happy penis, do you?
No,
just like that. Like,
yeah.
It's just like an angry little sailor.
Eyed snake. Also, like, like, I think it's a bit pervy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit gross. Like, I don't know. You know, we live in a day and age now where a lot of life is online. And I'm not, like, being funny. You wouldn't go and, like, well, it's illegal to flash somebody in public with, you know, it's frowned upon.
God,
like, so why is this shit acceptable? Like, it's fucking weird.
I know. I just am, like, at the point where I'm very lucky that I didn't have that when I was single.
Yeah, I was going to say, just for the record, like, I'm not getting sent dick pics. Like, I'm not talking on a, like, current. This is just purely based around what Sophie's saying. Yeah.
Disclaimer. But yeah, can you imagine, like, and I know some women do it, but like, I would never want to send like a vag pic. Like, it just is like, it just doesn't go through my head as like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. That's what I'm gonna do. Like, no. And I'm wondering what the outcome. I know it's like an ego thing, like you said, it probably is a bit of a shelf thing, because I think guys are a lot more okay with doing that than women are. But, and maybe that's a wrong assumption too, because actually some women are very, like, happy to do that. But it's just really strange. I thought the era of Snapchat had passed, where that sort of happened, but apparently not, because you are still experiencing it. So, and also not in the form where it dissolves, like, probably just a very much a picture. Like, here it is.
Yeah.
I just don't find genitalia pretty.
No, not even like a fanny. Don't even find either pretty. Like, no.
So just for context, just before we started recording, I had a boy send me a picture on Snapchat of him sat on the toilet having a poo.
What?
It's like,
what? Is this someone you're dating? Like, are you dating?
Absolutely not.
That is worse. Do you know him? Do you, like, know who he is?
Yeah, I met him once, like, at work somewhere. Didn't even meet him, like, and went on a day, da-da-da-da. None of that. It was, just weird.
No,
society's fucked.
Oh. Isn't it? Like, girls, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, no joke.
I think you just got to pick through the trash. That's the way I would describe it. It's like, I never, like, when I was single through probably the worst time, which was COVID. So I didn't date anyone. And and I remember some of my other single friends were like, my friend who's like, she's 38 and she won't mind me saying it. She described dating in her 30s as siphoning through the trash to find the most decent form of, like, remains that you can find. And I was like, that's a really weird way to put it. But the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, she's so right. Like, because why are people sending pictures? I don't want a picture of you on the loo. I don't want to see my boyfriend now having a poo. Like, I don't need a picture from someone I don't even know. Like, do you know what I mean? Just like, it's so bizarre. And does he think it's banter? Like, is he trying to banter you? That's what I don't understand.
Do you know what?
Do you know what
thing that really annoys me?
What? Go on. Sorry.
The thing that really annoys me about it is he is really nice looking.
Why was he ruining himself for the poo pic?
I know, and he's attractive, and he's just sending me a picture having a shit. Like, I don't care.
Looks like really don't mean anything, do they? When someone's sending you a picture of them having a shit, like
boundaries don't exist. Like,
absolutely like, not.
That means like that he wouldn't have any boundaries if you were together. Like, and I just feel that there is a boundary needed in that regard. Like, and yeah, I'd be like, okay, we've just started seeing each other. I don't need to see you shitting. Like, this should happen way down the line. Like, you know, if ever.
I didn't even reply. So, you know.
Yeah.
I hope he hears this, and I hope he hears. Excuse me, sir. This is unacceptable.
Don't send poo pics. Like, nobody needs that ever. Like, weird.
I think a good thing though, Soph, like being, I mean, I've not been personally single in my 30s. Like, I was in my late 20s when I got into a relationship. But I think even at that point, I kind of like taking control of a lot of my life. And it was like, I think the best thing about this time in your life is you're past the kind of the bullshit.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like very liberating, and it's very empowering. And it's like, I think you can just be who you are. And if someone doesn't like it, then it's like, see you later.
Yeah. You can just go in and
be another boy sending me a poo picture if that doesn't work out.
Yeah.
What will happen is,
and if worse gets to worse.
Yeah. More guys will listen to it and then just send more pictures to you as a joke now. And we'll be like, oh, this was not supposed to happen.
I never even thought of that. Fuck.
Okay. If you decide to send Soph a picture or any of us a picture of you shitting, be it at your own peril. Let me just say that, okay? As long as you're happy for Sophie's over 10,000 followers to also see the pictures, then by all means, send them over. Yeah.
Send them away. Like, if you want to be on that.
You have been warned.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be that would start something we didn't ever expect, for sure. But I think also in your 30s, one thing a bit sort of touching on what Katie said there is that like you can go into a conversation with people more openly. I feel like in my 20s, I would try and conform a bit more to maybe like what I thought someone would want me to be.
Yeah.
But in my 30s, I'm very unapologetically like, this is me, and I don't feel the need to hide it. If you don't like me, that's fine. And it's more of a personality like level, because I think you can say, if someone doesn't want kids at this point, and you can be very honest about it. And I think in your 20s, you are swayed a bit more like, oh, I might change their mind, or they might change their mind, or I might, you know, it may change. But in your 30s, you're like, actually, no, I don't want to do that. So if you want to do that, we probably shouldn't make this work. So it's much more straightforward in that sense, I think. And dating can be fun in that regard, because you can date people and then they could say something that you might be like, that's a red flag. And rather than pursuing it, which is what I'm terrible for doing that in the past, but you can definitely in control of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what changes in your 30s, because you've been through a lot of shit in your 20s and then you come into your 30s being more sure of yourself, I think is the word.
Aware, like self-awareness, isn't it? And also, Soph, like, you're smashing life at the moment.
Yeah.
So, like, anybody that, like, enters your life, I mean, you probably don't even want a serious relationship right now. I don't know. But when it gets to that point, it's like that person needs to be so on their game that they need to be, like, adding shit to what you've already got.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, I am, like I say, not looking for anything right now, but when that person does come along, like you say, they need to have their shit together. They need to be, like, matching me up here, you know? Like, you can't see on the podcast, but I'm matching levels right now.
She's putting her hands up above her head. It's high.
High levels, guys. Her arms are extended. But also, hey, you could just have some, like, really good sex for now with someone that you just go and do that.
I mean,
like, this is the word of advice for anyone else listening. If you're single, just go and have really good sex with someone that isn't an ass on both sides. Like,
Yeah. I really hope my mom isn't listening to this, because if you are, really mom, turn it off right now.
Sorry, mom. Soph's going to be having really good sex.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, not sorry, God. Actually. So, yeah.
Soph, I've never seen you get embarrassed before.
Yeah.
I know. So I never, so ever flustered. Get embarrassed about yeah. anything. But that, yeah, I can get yeah, very awkward is. Very fast.
I
so, anyway.
Yeah. Moving on. I was going to say, I had a really awkward situation, and she doesn't listen to this, I don't think, so it's fine. But my mum's... my mum started seeing a new guy, and she tried to talk to me about sex and stuff. And I was like, I think we need to stop. No. Like, you know, you're like, we don't need to have this chat. Like, I'm very cool that you're doing this, but I just don't need to be aware of anything going on.
Yeah. It should never, like, it should never become normal. Like your parents having sexual relations. Like, yeah. I remember when my mum does listen to this podcast, and I'm just going to say this anyway. So when I moved back to New Zealand the first time, I was like 19, I think. And my mum eventually started seeing somebody. And by that time I was in like my early 20s, and I was always quite renowned for being quite protective and like, yeah, just opinionated, funny enough. And yeah, my mum like started seeing this guy, and he lived, you know, down the other end of the country, and he eventually like came up to see her in Auckland, and honest to God, I am traumatized by the sound of my mum's headboard banging on the wall. Where I said something about it, and what made it even worse was I went into her room one day looking for something, and my mum used to own a carpet business, and she had put fucking underlay behind her headboard to try and stop it banging against the wall. So it just reconfirmed all of my fears that I had already had, that she was having sex with this person, which I might add, he is very lovely, and they are now married in a very amazing relationship. But I mean, fuck me, like, if you didn't think you would be traumatized like by your parents in your early 20s, then assure me it is still I assure you, I mean, it is still possible.
Oh my God, I don't know what would have done. I thought that was awkward enough having the conversation, but I think hearing her and then having to discover that, I'd have been like, I need some time to process.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, I mean, not the one. You know, we're gonna be there one day, aren't we? So
yeah I mean, Matt has a son, so he like, oh, I've just said his name on the podcast, it'll be fine. He has a son. And the amount of times I'm always really aware of stuff like that, but he'll be like, he made a comment the other day about like, he just made an offhand comment. He's like, it's probably heard us like loads of times. And you know, you're like, that poor child. Like, and then I was going inward with myself and being like, oh my God, have I ever had my parents? Like, would I have been traumatized? Like, just trying to relive that whole thing. And he was so blasé when he said it, and I was like, I'm like really like, no, like just can't do it if your son's here, like just no, not gonna happen. But such a weird thing to say, because you immediately just, it's such that inward feeling of like, I'm going to my inner child, I'm searching for all of the things that may have happened as a child to relate to this moment.
That is hilarious.
I know, horrible, horrible. It makes me cringe so bad, you know, insides like clench, it makes everything clench. So
note to self, don't have any kids.
Yeah. Or don't have really loud sex when you do have them. So, yeah.
Or just do.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Or if you're dating someone with kids, make sure that they're not there or that they can't hear in any way. That's probably
I bet there's some right stories out there as well. Like, I'd love to know if anybody listening has got like a story of like, if something's ever happened.
Oh,
if you've ever traumatized someone or been traumatized, like,
we're here for it.
I can relate.
Oh my God. Start up like a therapy line for people that have been traumatized by these experiences.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe that's what we should do.
We've branched out. We've branched out for it.
I'm moving on from
there's like no segue for that, is there? There's no, no like natural segue. There's no natural like progression into the next conversation from that. So about that, on to the next thing.
Let's go from willies to moon.
The moon.
Amy, this is your bag. So tell us all about what's been cracking off with a moon, because it's been mental.
Yeah, please tell me.
So we've just had a super full moon eclipse. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I believe it was in Taurus. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's information I've got. But this full moon is also called a beaver moon, which I thought was hilarious. But anyway, so it was
that was
moon.
Our segue. That was our segue. Dicks into the beaver moon. I mean, come on.
It was there on a plate. I just missed the opportunity to say it. Oh, dear. It would have been perfect. I mean, it was perfect anyway, still. But this moon is basically, it's one of those moons where this time of year, and I know some of us are experiencing this now already, but it basically brings up absolutely everything that we need to sort out in our lives or areas that we've been deliberately ignoring. It's bringing it really to the forefront. And it's that time of year where if you've been putting off doing something or you are aware of a situation but you haven't really resolved it, suddenly the universe will just resolve it for you. And it won't be in the way that you potentially thought it would be. And because we're still lining up to the new moon, which I believe is next week, then the full moon energy is still around and it's still doing those things. And I feel like at the moment it's bringing a lot of stuff up, and I'm noticing it a lot in like my day-to-day life and work. And I know you guys are noticing it a lot in your day-to-day lives as well. But it's funny because if I look back at this time of year when this full moon tends to happen, I can pinpoint pretty much big changes always happening in my life at this time of year before Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a time, it's basically lining you up to sort of start again in the new year, new like focus. And also coincidentally, I think it's an eclipse on the new moon as well, which is next week, which also then is a really powerful time to manifest your new life, essentially.
Don't mind if I do.
I'll take a bit of that. So it can bring stuff like situations to the forefront that have been festering. So like things at work from my side have all been coming up this week. And I mean, I've messed up today, which is bringing up stuff anyway. But like it's those kind of things where you can't escape it. It will just happen. And even in your personal life, things will come up like that as well. So a lot of people, I think, have been experiencing it without realizing. And I know we're a bit more in tune with it, so we're aware of it. But it's definitely... For those people out there being like, why is all this shit happening all of a sudden? Blame the beaver. Blame the beaver moon. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys, I mean, Katie, I know you have, and we can discuss that another day. But Kate, Sophie, I don't know if you've experienced it this week or the last few weeks. Sorry, oh, gosh, she's in a ghost now.
All right, someone was banging outside my front door then, but I think it's the next door neighbour coming home, so it's fine. I was like, waiting for someone to run through the front door.
I was like, she's seen a ghost. Not a good time.
Gosh, changes. I don't know if I mentioned before on the last episode of the podcast about I started going through some therapy to help with anxiety and stuff, because it was literally crippling my day-to-day life. Like some days I couldn't even go out the house without checking the back door had been locked three times, and I have to check the windows. And I think it's a bit of a mixture of like OCD and anxiety sort of all bundled together. So this was kind of at the height of as things were sort of coming to an end for my breakup. So it was kind of, I look back at it now and think, yep, there's a lot of escalation going on there. So coming into that, and then I thought, well, I'll continue on with my therapy and what I've been doing. And like you say, it's just brought up so much other stuff that you know you need to deal with it, but you just haven't, well, not been given the opportunity, but you just either have just been pushing it away and thinking that it'll never surface again and all that sort of stuff. So Yeah, I continued on with that, and she has been an absolute godsend. Like, I can't even explain how brilliant she's been. And she just made me look at things from a different perspective. Like, when I have that thought of absolute fucking panic in my head and think, oh my God, my head is going to fall off. Or if I don't check that door three times, am I going to walk outside and get hit by a car or something like that? And she explained a method to me, and it's the best thing I think I've ever learned for managing anxiety. And she said that to look at, imagine a pink elephant in the corner of your room. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this when you've...
No, I don't think I've heard this one.
No.
Yeah. So basically, when you have a thought, and a negative thought and a you know, a horrible thought towards yourself or whatever it is you have your thoughts about, imagine that there's an elephant in your room, and it can be bright pink, and you have to describe what it's doing, what it's messing around at, is it silly, is it, you know, all these little intricate details. And for example, this is how this worked. I had a really bad morning. This was a few months back now, but I had came downstairs and just innocently, I think someone had knocked on the door or something anyway, and it had triggered me, and I'd started having a panic attack. And I did what she said with the elephant. I was like, right, I'll think of an elephant, think of an elephant. And I just burst out laughing. Like, because in my head, this elephant was pissing about in the corner of my room, like on a ball and like flailing around everywhere. And I just burst out laughing, and I just went, oh my God, I fucking cracked it. Like, you know, you just have that moment in your head and you think, oh my God, that's it. That's it. Yeah. I know I can get rid of it now. Like, I can manage it.
It's almost like creating, like, not a distraction, but something like to get you, pull you quickly out of that downward funnel.
Yeah.
To like bring you back to the present moment. Yeah. That's such like an interesting technique. I've never heard that one before.
No.
Yeah. It was so bizarre. And touch wood, since then, I've not had any panics or anything like that. I don't check the doors anymore and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, she actually signed me off last week, so I don't go
that's
to her
amazing.
Anymore. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, so that's been really interesting to go through that whole journey, and yeah, I can't recommend it enough. Anyone that's thinking about it, like, go to therapy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, therapy 100%. Is a godsend. Like, I. Mm. Always rate it to people. I always say to people, like, just go and do it, just to get a bit more in tune with yourself, kind of thing, because I think it really helps. And it's like, weirdly, I've been going through massive anxiety things like recently, but it's not to that. Mm. It's not where I check things. I overthink to the point where I destroy a situation in my head before I've even done it.
Yeah.
So I'll make the worst case scenario, and I don't know where it's come from. I don't know if it's because of, like, work's quite stressful, so I feel like it's a stress thing for me. I do it when I'm stressed. So I'm like. And there'll be an outcome. So I did it earlier with the flight thing in my head. I was like, we won't be able to get the flight, and then I won't be able to get there, and then I'm going to pay all this money out. And I literally just, I'd spiral into like this massive thing. Nothing's happened yet. Like, I don't know the outcome.
Yeah.
And I just make the outcome what I think it's going to be. And then I'll fester it to the point where I'm emotionally stressed, and I can feel my heart rate goes up, and I can feel anxious. And I'm like, what am I doing? So I've had to go to therapy to like sort of work through that and try and like process where the hell that's come from, or why I've suddenly got this fear-based anxiety that's just I massively create situations for that have happened, and 9 times out of 10 they're absolutely fine. So like, I'm trying really consciously now during the call not to do it about the flight thing, because I'm panicking, being like, I don't think they even asked for the name on the passport properly, it just said to enter a passenger name, you know. You like go through
yeah
so then I've had to be like, I don't need to worry about that right now, and we'll just deal with it at the airport. And then that's my other side of my brain being like, you're just going to have to do it like that. That's all you're going to have to do. So I don't know where it's come from, but I guess it's similar, because if you're like got an OCD thing, it's a fear-based thing, isn't it? Where you're like trying to take control of the situation in a different way. So it's very strange how the brain works.
So coming back to what you were saying about the moon, Amy, what's kind of like, what's the advice?
What's the advice?
Yeah.
What's your going? What's like inside. Your?
tell me. So to work with the moon energies, you kind of have to do a bit of research and understanding, like where your sign is at with the moon. So I have a moon journal. So outside of this, because this takes a bit of work, outside of the podcast, I'll send it to you guys to like find out where your house is in this particular month. But it's looking a bit more inward at that, and then also understanding how to. It's kind of letting go, like surrendering to be like, okay, I accept this. Like this has happened.
Yeah.
Like, what can I now? What, you know, why has it happened, and what is it trying to show me? And then where can I rectify it? And it takes a bit of work, because you do have to do a lot of like, and I should practice what I preach a bit more, really, because I'm not doing this myself at the minute, but you should practice like positive affirmations like every day that you wake up and you like, even if you don't feel them, you kind of have to say them to yourself, because eventually you'll start feeling that way. And keeping a journal is really good, like you were sort of saying earlier, Safe, about journaling, like that's really good, like writing down all your thoughts at the end of the day to empty your brain, because at the moment if you're like going through something stressful, you need to empty whatever's in your head to get it out into like another form anyway. And it's almost as soon as you journal, it's like putting it to bed, and you kind of like de-stress, because you're like, I've written everything in there that I'm feeling right now, and in the morning I won't feel like that. So it's that's really good, just like process, and I think that's recommended quite highly. But also when the new moon comes, it's like working with that energy and writing down what actually you would like your life to look like. So then the full moon's like taking it through the cycle now of like everything changing. But then the new moon is like, okay, what do I want to manifest? Like what is next for me? Like if I really had to picture my life now, like what would I want it to look like? And then if you journal what you would like your life to look like, it could be like really far-fetched, or it can be as basic as like just having a routine of like, I want to get up and exercise every day, or I want to do this, or I would love to find, you know, this person or this job or this house. Like that's kind of like the outcome. And then if you just believe that, if you work with that and believe in it a bit more, that's genuinely what you want, then I think I've seen it before, and we talk about manifesting all the time, but I genuinely believe stuff starts aligning to kind of work with that, because you're kind of letting it go. You're like, I want this, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm just going to work towards it every day, even if it's a positive affirmation, or even if it's me just telling myself that I'm going to do this, like it can be like that. So the moon has been quite destructive. So it's just a case of
you're telling me, Christ.
Yeah. You've got to let it at the moment, because it's still that energy of the full moon, even though it's not a full moon anymore, it's still going to be that until the new moon. So you just got to kind of surrender and allow it to keep just doing its thing. And then when we get to the new moon, it will, it's like a fresh set of energy to bring in a new beginning. So and it's a good time because it's Christmas. So
did you girls find that you couldn't sleep at all when this full moon happened this time?
Yeah,
honestly, it's crazy.
I just get into like a restless pattern where I'll be like, I'll wake up a few times through the night and the cats will be doing like hot laps of the house for like a couple of hours. It's bizarre. Like every time I'm like, I literally wake up sometimes and I'm like, oh, what's wrong with you? Then I'm like, oh, it's a full moon. It's a bloody full moon. That's why you're doing it. And it'd be like 3 a.m. and they're like jumping from like, you know, bed to the wall to everything. You're like, oh, like parkour. So I have it a lot. And I was away I was actually away this time when I had the new, when it was a full moon. I still didn't sleep. Like I just had a really restless couple of nights kind of thing. And it wasn't. I always really struggle with that. And I know you do as well, don't you, Sophie? Like, I always really struggle with a full moon sleep kind of thing.
But yeah. I know, I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but when I was manifesting the house, I manifested in my head to have large windows for the sunlight to come in. Random thing, I know. Anyway, you ask and you get. So this is what I've got. I have big, lovely windows in my house, and my bedroom at the front has got a big, lovely window, but the moon shines straight through my bedroom window every single night.
Oh, I love that.
So of course, obviously when it was the full moon, it was super bright, and I just ended up pulling my blinds up and leaving it open, because I was like, well, you're just poking through anyway, so I'm just going to see you. You're going to keep me awake. So yeah, that's really lovely. But yeah, bloody thing kept me awake for freaking ages. It did.
It's a pesky little thing, isn't it? Pesky little thing.
I bet you know. I feel if like people I've are listening like
lost
to this,
touch with all this. Oh, sorry. What were you saying? So
go on. Yeah, I feel like if people are listening to this and they're not really into this kind of stuff that we're into and whatever, I bet they're listening to it and going, what the fucking moon keeps you awake at night? Who are you?
Yes, it does. Okay.
Yeah. Go on, Katie. What were you going to say?
I was just saying, like, I feel like with everything that's been going on, like, I've lost a lot of focus with the side of like my life in terms of like my interests and what I'm normally like, you know, keeping myself up to date on. And I'm sure there's been so many occasions where things have happened where I can actually put it down to certain sequences of the moon and things like that. But because I've been so out of whack and like not had time really to come up for air around, you know, moving and everything else going on, I feel like this is like a reminder for me now to get back into it, get back into the swing of things. And yeah, it's just a nice reminder, I think, for me and like anybody listening as well. Like, it's an awesome opportunity to start kind of looking internally and just, you know, rediscovering what you want and making it happen.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree. It's hard. Like, when you go, when life is so busy, it is really easy to lose touch with it. And I felt like it's really strange how the universe works, isn't it? But for a while, I was feeling like I'd lost touch with the moon. It was probably about 3 months ago. I started to feel like I'm not really doing anything that I am really passionate about. And apart from obviously like hobbies, but like internal work, which is obviously to do with like crystals and the moon and stuff. I was like, I'm totally disengaged from it. I don't know how to get back into it because I've lost my flow with it. And then randomly, I was going through my desk drawers. Ironically, I'm not sat at my desk now, but I have a desk in the other room. And I was going through my desk drawers and there was this thing in there called the 6-Minute Diary. And I'd been given it for a gift, like for Christmas, like probably the year before. And I looked at it and I was like, what is this? Like, a 6-Minute Diary? Like, what the hell is this about? And I opened it, like, because it was all like cellophaned up. And it was like, it's basically like a diary of like working on yourself. And it's like every day you do, like in the morning you get up and you do like 3 things you're grateful for, you write about what you'd like the day to achieve, what your positive affirmations are. And I was like, this is like literally been in my drawer the whole time and I'm just randomly searching for something else, and it just happened to come out like when I picked all this stuff up, and I was like, oh, what's that? And then since then I've been doing this little diary, and I've missed a couple of days because it's quite hard to keep up with it if you're like doing other bits that are away and stuff. But it's made me totally reconnect with myself, and also made me realize I've become a bit of a miserable cow and I needed to stop being a bit more positive again, because I just let things suck the life out of me for a bit. So yeah, and it's really nice to sort of do it, because I used to do a gratitude journal anyway, but that can be a bit like repetitive and I felt like I was just writing the same thing. So the diary is really good because it actually every week has like a weekly task where you write about different things. Like this morning it was saying like, are you where you want to be in your career, and like what would your life look like if you hadn't done this, and it throws up questions and it where you're like, oh god, like I don't even think about that at all because I'm just in this flow, and it disrupts it, and it's like, actually what would you do if things were different? And it's made me really question like so many things to a point where I'm like, how have I got here? Like, and not in a bad way. Some of it's good and some of it is bad, because it does make you, it highlights areas of your life where you're like, this isn't actually that healthy, or this is good and you're not paying enough attention to it. And you're like, oh God, I need to nurture that a bit more or not work so much on that. So very, very bizarre how it came about, but I've been feeling it internally. And then it was almost like the universe was like, here you go. Here's the book to make you feel better. So I was like, thank you. But highly recommend it. It's actually like a genuine thing, and it's quite a universe. Like, I think it's a big self-help thing.
Yeah.
I've read into it a bit more. So it's called the 6-Minute Diary. Anyone listening, highly recommend it. So.
Oh, lovely.
The only thing I will say, and that's what made me realise I became a bit of a cow, was that it has like, it has this thing in there where it's talking about doing a good deed for the day, like a selfless deed. And every day it's like, what did you do today that was selfless? And so many times I've been like, nothing. I've done nothing. And then I was like, oh God, I need to actually be a nice person and go out and do nice things. And I was like, oh God. So I've been trying really hard to do that. And then every day it's like, how are you going to improve being a nice person? And like, so many times I've written, we're actually doing nice things. So I was like, I need to be genuinely better at that. But that's what I mean by it highlights areas where you're like, oh, actually, I'm just sat at a desk all day. What am I actually doing that's nice for others, or giving something a bit selflessly for others? So
yeah,
I do have therapy too, but I have both, so it works really nicely.
You're fully equipped now.
Yeah, just fully equipped for life. Like, ka-chow, like, get away, bad vibes. Like, karate chop those to the side.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. I've got a little bit of a dodgy throat tonight, girls. Sorry, so I keep turning my mic off to cough so it doesn't go straight down your ear holes.
That's all right.
I thought you were burping for a while, to be fair, but
oh yeah, I did have one stuck before we started, but I got rid of that. It's fine.
Did you go back in your chair? Like Sophie's doing like a gentle rock back in her chair, and she did do a burp before we started, so I thought she was just burping but away from the microphone, but she's actually just coughing. So.
No, it was coughing that time. So something that I want to bring up on the podcast, and it's actually like when I read things in the media, I tend to take everything with a pinch of salt. And with this that's been going on at the moment with the whole spiking on nights out you know, girls being injected and things like that, honestly, it absolutely terrifies me.
Yeah,
like, and you know, I'm a handy girl. Like, I can look after myself. If I feel there's a weirdo near me, then you know, off the trot.
Yeah,
but this whole thing with the injecting and whatnot. How is it even going on? But obviously it is. But how are they getting stuff into clubs? Like, how are they getting stuff into bars?
I think needles and stuff, they can be quite inconspicuous. Like, they're very easy to hide.
Yeah.
I think the thing that was so destructive with this, I don't know a lot about it, to be honest. Mm. But in terms of what I do know is, you know, it's always victim blaming. Like, always with stuff like this, you always get, especially within the media, which is obviously a big portal for information for a lot of people. You always get the victim blaming, and it's like, you know, these people are coming forward and saying this is happening to them. And then you've got like people, you know, within government and stuff like that saying what they're saying is impossible. And there's no way that, you know, the person, you know, wouldn't be able to pull away in the amount of time it would take someone to drug them in that way and stuff like that. Whereas since it's obviously been proven and people have actually been arrested for it, it's just like, that's the bit that pisses me off, is it's like cast aside and, you know, nah, you're crazy. Yeah. And like in every sense of this, it's the same with like, you know, assault and stuff like that. It's always, I think this is a prevalent thing in the media at the moment, especially since, you know, especially in the last few months where women have gone missing and, you know, unfortunately turned up murdered and things like that. It's always, you know, they shouldn't be, it's always, instead of saying to the men who are generally the culprits in these situations, like, you shouldn't be doing this, it's more like, well, we're going to tell women what they shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be walking out late by yourself. You shouldn't be wearing those clothes. You shouldn't be this and that. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the dialogue around it's just backwards. Yeah, completely. It's like, instead of fucking like trying to teach women what not to do, and I say women because it is generally in these circumstances who they are the victims, it's like, teach your boys and your men who are predominantly the culprits to not fucking do it.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. It is so bizarre to me that is even a thing. Like, when I started hearing about it, I was just like, why is this even a thing? Like, I don't remember I was chatting to some of my friends about it, but I don't remember a time when I went out clubbing and ever suffered with that or like ever was worried about it. But some of the girls I spoke to did say they remember something similar happening years ago, but it may have been on a much smaller scale. But I'm just baffled as to why, as an individual, you would choose to go in there to deliberately harm someone. It's quite psychopathic behaviour. Yeah. And it's making me worried that there's a lot more psychopaths out there than we actually think there are. Like, and to deliberately target someone for that reason and to inject them with whatever they're injecting them with, it's, what are you gaining? Like, what? I just can't get my head around. Like, what are they gaining from it? Is it a power thing?
It's like the worst circumstance as well, isn't it? Because the stuff, generally the drug that you take into your body, it essentially makes you appear incoherent and drunk, which is the natural state of a lot of people on a night out. So then you get the circumstances where these people have been spiked and no one believes them. Like, I've heard stories of women like left in the gutter and stuff like that because people are like, oh, she's drunk. And it's like not the situation at all. Like, people don't remember what's happened. It's horrendous.
Yeah. It is like so strange. And I just think there's got to be something that they've got to do to stop it, because otherwise it will get to a point where people are already moaning, like nightclub owners are already like, oh, my business, blah, 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 because of COVID. And I'm like, well, you're actually now having another issue because you get people spike people. So if you can stop that part, then you'll probably be fine. And rather than, you know, worrying about whether people's businesses are going to survive. And I think it's happening much more up north than it is actually down south. So it's not happening as much around here. Mm-hmm. But I just think if they want the nightlife to survive, there has to be that protection there for people going in. There has to be. There's got to be something. But then people are like, it's invading my privacy if they scam me. And I'm like, well, it's only invading your privacy if you've got something to hide.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
It's like, it should be for safety. Like,
I completely agree.
I went to the Christmas markets last weekend and we ended up going to a pub and stuff. And this is in Nottingham and it's got one of the highest rates, obviously, for this spiking going on. So I was so aware of the people that were around me because I almost felt like I had my back to the wall, you know?
Yeah.
Like for the majority of the evening, especially in the club that we went into, because there was actually some, they probably weren't doing anything dodgy, but there was two guys just stood in there kind of watching everybody. And instantly I was like, I don't like that. Like, that seems weird to me. They weren't drinking. They were just stood there like watching everybody in a, you know, a busy bar nightclub. And I was like, okay, that's weird. So I told one of the bouncers that was in there and he went over and chatted to the guys and he just, I can't remember what he said now, but yeah, we ended up actually leaving after that because me and a couple of the other girls were completely weirded out by it and just thought, nah, not feeling that.
No,
but
okay.
It's scary, like.
It is scary, yeah.
Very scary. Because you just, you're going out for a good time. And I know, like, drug culture, like, for drugging people has been around for a long time. But, if you're going out for a good time and you're pretending to get spiked or whatever now, it's sort of just put, I think it would just kill that vibe completely. I think people will go back to partying in pubs or in their friends' houses, which again is another danger zone, but it feels safer to people than it does to go to a nightclub and have a needle stuck in you. So it's weird, it's really strange. And I think we've touched on it before, but I've had my drink spiked and it's such a weird feeling. And it is like that, Katie, like you said, like people just think you're wasted and you're like, I'm not wasted. I've literally had like few drinks.
Yeah.
And I was out of control. I remember not the alarm bells for me was that I couldn't feel my mouth properly. That was what really flagged it up for me. And I was like, I knew I was gurning, but I was trying to tell people that I couldn't talk and they just thought I was wasted. And it was such a weird experience because you feel like you're trapped in your own body and it's so weird to kind of try and communicate that you're going through something.
Yeah.
That was at a family wedding, but
Jesus.
A family wedding?
I don't think you've told us about that, Ames.
Oh, have I not? It was a family wedding and we never really found out who it was, but I now think it was probably my ex-boyfriend, who was a horrible toxic waste of space.
Wow.
Holy shit.
who actually got in touch with me the other day out of the blue. He hasn't spoken to me for
why
years.
Why did he do this?
The moon. I was like, it wasn't the beaver moon. It was just before that. So it was really random. Like, it was, I always felt like reading the message out just to humour the message slightly. And you know, when you read it and you're like, at what point have you decided that that's a good decision to get back in touch with me? Because I've not spoken to you for as long as I can remember. And when I last spoke to you, you said you were going to ruin my life. So don't really see why we need to have a conversation, really. But apparently you do. Oh, has he blocked me? Oh, no. Here we go. So I've not spoken to him since October 2017.
Wow.
And then on... literally almost to the day of like when I messaged him, when he messaged me, sorry, in October 2017, 18th of October this was. So it was, what, I don't know what moon was there then, we might have to do some assessment. But he was like, hi Amy, hope you're well, just had a dream about us, laugh out loud, didn't know if you were doing your witchy stuff. I'm like, what, yeah, I'm a freaking witch, but I'm not doing it to you.
Yeah, so I'm manifesting like to be in your dreams.
Oh, ew. I really want to be in his dreams. Fuck off. And then he was like, so happy that you're smashing life, but the last time we spoke you wanted to destroy my life to the point where you were like, I'm going to destroy your life. And I was like, okay, bye. God. Like, what are you gonna do? Just go away. And then he was talking about, I'm not gonna say his name or his daughter's name, but then he's saying about his daughter had a motocross race and she killed it. And then he's like, yeah, anyway, I thought I would just send a message to say hi. So hi. And I literally read it and I was like, Why after this length of time are you getting in touch with me? What do you want? Was my first thought in my head. And after speaking to a couple of my friends, we all came to the same conclusion. We were like, he's obviously in a relationship again and it's going for a bad time. Mm-hmm. And has decided that actually he's going to stalk you and message you because you are, you know, I'm on social media, I'm very careful about what I put out. I don't put a lot of stuff out anymore.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's obviously take his social media as our best bits, right? It's clips of our best bits. We're not putting up the shit that goes on. So he's looked at that and thought, I'm going to message her like and try and see if she's still interested in any way. And I just don't understand why you think I would be. And what he hasn't said in that message as well is he's also with someone else and has another child. So I'm like, you're just a liar. You're a narcissistic liar again. And you haven't even...
dirt bag.
I know. It's bizarre. Bizarre. And I chuckled to myself about it and I told Matt about it and he was just like, are you going to reply? And I was like, no, I don't. And I spoke to my therapist about it and she was like, what do you gain from replying? And I was like, nothing. And she was like, you don't owe him anything. Like,
no,
you don't owe him anything. And
if
I was like,
anything,
I guess
you're giving him what he wants by like giving him a reaction.
Because I didn't reply on purpose and I left it till my therapy session to go in to be like, what would you do in this situation? She always makes it like, she obviously gets you to say what you actually would do.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to reply. And she was like, don't reply then. And I was like, yeah. She was like, don't feel guilty that you haven't replied. You don't owe him anything. And I was, I went through the last few messages on my thing when he was being really nasty. And he was like, she was like, that's his real personality. And I don't get why exes feel they can do that. Why they feel they can just have this really horrible shit and they say all this nasty shit to you. And then a year later or something, they'll pop up and they're like, oh, hey. You're like, do you remember what you said? Do you remember that?
It's almost so, like gaslighting, like making you feel crazy, like trying to make you feel crazy.
Oh, he was a terrible gaslight. He always made out that I was the crazy one. And that's, I went for a really weird time where I really questioned myself and I was like, am I just mad? Mm. But no, he was the one, so...
Yeah, fuck that shit. Block him. See you later.
Block, deleted. I screenshot the message and kept it to be like, this is the last thing. But literally, I was like, blocked straight away.
Get Soph to give his number to the guy that sends pictures of himself shitting on the toilet.
That's what
we
should do.
They are a match made in heaven.
That's what we should do. Oh my god!
This is what you deserve.
Oh. You okay, Amy?
I had to turn off my mic then. I was going for a safety moment and I was actually choking. So, yeah, that was...
oh, my God.
That feels like a good solution though, Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should work
I mean,
that.
I can make it happen. Like,
I actually don't even know if I have his actual number because that was on Instagram. So, Yeah, it's a bizarre world. Very, very strange. But I've not had that for a really long time from any ex, because I don't really like need to speak to them. Or the others have all just kind of been very respectful. But it was very odd, like the very, very strange out of the blue thing. And I hear about it all the time from other people, and I see it in films. And then when it happened to me, I was like, oh, this is what they talk about. And a witch did say to me once that this would happen. So
So that rounds up episode 5 of the She Who Dares podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this week talking about poos and willies and the beaver moon.
Who's what more coming? Could you possibly want?
Amy, you okay, hun?
Just choking again. I don't know what I'm choking on. I think the spirit's here, saying,
"Holy Spirit, activate! Holy Spirit, activate!"
That's definitely what's happening. We talked about spiritual things. The spirits are now invading my soul, making me cough. Like, that is what's going on. So, yeah.
Oh, mate, just don't yawn. You'll have a ghost willy in your mouth.
Oh my god, yeah. You don't want that.